Students suffering from mental health issues in Jackson County, Florida public schools will have a new option for treatment this year. Telepsychiatry. That's psychiatry sessions through video chat. Florida has installed telepsychiatry pods in 63 schools throughout the Florida panhandle. Florida First Lady Casey DeSantis told reporters earlier this month that she believes that these pods are going to, quote, help save lives. One in five children in the United States suffer from mental health disorders, and only a quarter of those children actually receive treatment. Some say telepsychiatry could close this treatment gap by making mental health care more accessible to children in school. Shabana Khan is the director of child and adolescent telepsychiatry at NYU Langone Health and has helped launch two telepsychiatry programs in schools here in Brooklyn and five in upstate New York. And she joins us now in studio. Shabana, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Tanzina.
So we mentioned Florida. You've done a bunch of these in New York. How widespread are these services right now? Are they still pretty much localized to New York and Florida?
So we are seeing a significant increase in several states that are launching telemental health, telepsychiatry into schools. It's a great way to reach rural and otherwise underserved areas to provide pediatric mental health care.
We mentioned at the top that across the United States, there are a quarter of children with mental health disorders not receiving treatment. I want to talk about why that is and how you see schools becoming a part of the solution here.
Absolutely. It's estimated that about 15 million children would benefit from an assessment, psychiatric mental health assessment, yet there are only 8,300 child psychiatrists, and many of us are going to be in metropolitan big cities, metropolitan areas. So there's a huge gap. And even within big cities like New York, there can be significant underserved areas. There can be pockets. So telemedicine is a great way for us to use technology to get care where we need it to be.
I want to talk a little bit about exactly what telepsychiatry is, how it works.
The American Telemedicine Association defines telemedicine as the use of medical information exchanged from one site to another through electronic communications to improve patient status. So the most common type of treatment that we're looking at through telepsychiatry is the use of live interactive video conferencing. So I've been doing telemedicine for about 10 years, and I have to say there are times that I forget that we're using technology. I feel like I'm in the room. I think in some cases, we may even be able to provide better care using the technology. And I think for some types of conditions, it may be easier for some folks to get care through this modality. So if someone has a lot of anxiety or autism spectrum disorder, or if someone had a significant trauma history, they may actually feel more comfortable receiving care through this modality than in person. And I've seen that in my clinical practice.
How would a student be identified as needing this service?
So the schools, if we're looking at specifically within school settings, it may be a school guidance counselor, a therapist at school. The teachers may also discuss with parents that a child may benefit from a referral. So those would be some of the sources. Sometimes pediatricians may do the initial assessment. They may manage psychiatric disorders as well. If it's more complicated, they may consider referral to a mental health professional.
And in terms of privacy, how does that work for kids? Like, does this begin to build a sort of file on children? I'm just curious, are there privacy protections for kids in general?
So we absolutely do have privacy protection for children. When we are conducting these assessments, we make sure that we have the proper consents in place if we are sharing any information on both ends. And the technology that we're using is very secure as well, so we make sure that it's adherent with HIPAA standards, the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. Any connection that we're using is going to be a secure point-to-point connection.
What types of issues are the folks that you mentioned, whether it be teachers or psychiatrists or mental health providers, looking for? Are they strictly looking for children that might be depressed or anxious, or are they looking for kids that might exhibit some sort of ADHD symptoms? What's the spectrum that would be treated under this treatment?
So it's a wide variety, wide spectrum of potential assessments and treatments. So you mentioned some of the major ones. So mood disorders, sadness can be a normal thing. You know, we all get sad, but if it's very, very significant and it's impacting functioning, whether it's at home, at school, in other settings, and other things are impacted like sleep, appetite, that would be a significant depression. So those are the kinds of things we want to look out for: anxiety, obsessive compulsive disorder, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, like you mentioned, learning disabilities. With a lot of the conditions that we treat, early intervention is key. So if we wait too long, you know, a lot of children, because of this lack of access to care, are being diagnosed years after the onset of symptoms. And if that's the case, then we can see things like school dropout, a lot of missed days at school. As an adult, you may see unemployment, the risk of suicide. So rates of suicides are, in some studies, twice as high in rural areas compared to urban areas. So you add that to the lack of access to care. So all of these factors kind of play a role. So we see a wide variety of diagnoses.
I could see some parents being very much in favor of this, particularly if they've had trouble dealing with the issue themselves. But I could also see some parents saying, my kid doesn't need that, or having cultural issues pop up, which often happen with when it comes to mental health, saying, we don't do that, or my kid isn't, you know, a problem, or what have you. How does telepsychiatry navigate that really complicated space?
Yeah, great question. So that's something that we do definitely work with children and families on. With telemedicine, telepsychiatry, we can actually offer culturally competent care. So it's easier for us to bring in folks who may be very remote, who may not be in the community, that can provide this care locally. As you mentioned, there can be stigma associated with some of the conditions that we treat. So if we can provide these services into schools rather than a community mental health center, there may be less stigma associated with accessing this care. So if we can provide telepsychiatry into schools, into pediatric practices, that may actually increase the ability for us to get this care.
Shabana Khan is the Director of Child and Adolescent Telepsychiatry at NYU Langone. Shabana, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.